And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket.
Well, Dave, it seems pretty clear, at least it seems pretty clear to everybody that writes about these kinds of things, that the American government lost the war with Iran. That none of the aims that the government went to war for were able to be achieved. And finally, Trump said that he was calling it off, withdrawing, because he didn't want to become a new Herbert Hoover. He never wanted to be like Herbert Hoover. He didn't want to bring about depression.
Remember the song they used to sing on with Archie Bunker, you know, we need a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Yeah, I do remember
that, that lyric, you know, All in the Family.
By the way, Archie Bunker was set about a mile from where Trump was raised.
Ah. Okay.
It's that group that he represents. It's that group that he is. It's just Bunker was poorer than Trump's father. But they shared the same point of view and they lived in the same social circumstances. It's interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. I was going to say, instead of Iran, he ran.
He ran, yeah.
Trump ran and, you know, trying to... do his best PR stuff, you know, to spin things. I told a friend of mine about we were passing emails about the about that, and I had an uncle who used to have a saying: "Is no matter what, you can't shine shit."
You know? But wait, there's one. I got to take a step back because, in a certain sense, Trump actually won the war for his people because the fossil fuel industry, the American natural gas and oil companies, boomed during this war. Their prices went sky high. What they're earning is sky high. And they see no reason that they should lower their prices. People are used to paying them and they're going to keep charging them. Well, so from the viewpoint of benefiting who he really represents, the war was not such a bad idea.
Well, up to a point,
yeah,
because they were starting to run out of the petroleum reserves, and it was affecting the economy, although we didn't see
But not their economy. It didn't affect their economy.
No, but, you know, the average price of gas now, since his announcement, has finally dropped a little bit below $4 a gallon, but it's still too much. And these, like you said, these fossil fuel companies, they just keep raking in the bucks.
That's right.
And of course,
that $1 billion that they invested in him was a very good investment, as far as I can see.
Yeah, and he keeps ragging on renewables. You know, we can't have solar energy, we can't have wind power, but they keep the places that have it, like Iowa and North Dakota and Texas, have a lot of wind power going for them. He just doesn't want any expansion of that.
No, he wants to maintain the market for the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah.
But already this last year, the renewable feedstock for electricity was, more renewables were used than fossil fuels were used for the first time in history.
Yeah.
So the trend is there. No matter, whatever, he can't stop the tide. He may stand at the edge of the ocean and yell like the English king did, but the tide keeps coming.
Coming in. Yeah. And then don't forget the farmers are being hurt because of the price of fertilizer.
Yes.
If they could get it, you know.
But that's the way the competitive economy is. That's the way one sector wins, other sectors lose. His sector is the fossil fuel sector. That's who he got the money from. He didn't get it from the farmers. From the farmers, he got the votes. So yeah, from the farmers, he got votes. So he's going to pay them off, right? Like he did last time with $20 billion.
Stab him in the back. Yeah. Well, yeah, they have to. Yeah, he has to come up with some subsidy.
Yeah, so he'll come up with a subsidy. It's not his money. Why shouldn't he?
No.
You know. But, so he lost the war, but he also won the war. You can't overlook that.
Yeah. Well, then there's a question of who else is a loser in this.
The American
and
people.
He's the American people. The Iranian people.
Yes, absolutely.
Are certainly a loser of that.
The European people.
European. And the, you know, the reputation of the United States.
Well, right.
That may be, you know, irreparable at some to some point. And the, of course, he made sure that the person on the hook, because he was asked, you know, and once again, you know, things work out, I get all the credit. And if they don't work out, it's someone else's responsibility, basically.
Exactly.
It's Israel's or whatever. The person on the hook is J.D. Vance right now.
Right. So why did he pick J.D. Vance? Why didn't he pick Marco Rubio?
I think he's looking at Rubio as more of a successor. There was that report that he asked Rupert Murdoch at a luncheon or something at Mar-a-Lago what he thought of J.D. Vance, and Murdoch said, well, I think he's got a lot of potential. And then he said, what about Marco? And he said, oh, he's brilliant. So he's already there. Yeah.
Well, so, I don't think either one of those guys has much of a chance of getting elected.
You never know, but, you know, you hope not.
I mean, I have no idea whether there'll be elections. That's a separate question.
That's a separate question.
Yeah.
Or whether there'll be fair and honest elections.
Right.
We should tell our audience that this week they went further to try to stop mail-in votes. They've given or a list, or they've asked the post office to act on the list of people who should not receive ballots in the mail. In other words, they won't deliver them to certain
right.
people.
Right.
And there was a court ruling on this not long ago that said it's premature to rule on this because it was just an executive order and it hasn't been implemented. But now they're getting pretty close to implementation. And then the question will be what the courts will do. And will the courts say no, but we'll stay it, you know, or will he go try to get it stayed by going to the appeals court or to the Supreme Court? And
well,
we know
what do you think they'll do? How do you think they'll do it?
Well, we know what the Supreme Court does. If it helps the Republicans, they act quickly. If it hurts the Democrat, if it helps the Democrats, they put things over. So they'll say, oh, we'll put it on the docket for next fall.
Right.
And then, you know, and then all these people won't be able to vote and the Republicans will not fare as badly in the
And when the fall comes anyway, the court will say, oh, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too close to the election. We can't do it.
Yeah. Now they have a backup plan. They have a backup plan.
Who they?
Which is
who they?
The Trump people.
The Trump people.
Yeah, to raise this question about this ruckus, right? And to get Mike Johnson not to accept the results. Remember, he's still in office when these things.
That's right. He counts.
He count. He does the counting.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So he won't recognize Democrats winning or their challenges. Now,
then what? All right. This is then what? Then what happens?
Then you're in a real. Then you're going to see whether there's going to be mass demonstrations or not. And then you're going to see whether the military is going to try to do what Milley wouldn't do and set off, you know, and start shooting at people who are protesting. We hope it never gets to that point. But with Pete Hegseth in office, although they did say that Hegseth was on very thin ice, because he opposed the surrender, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Although this week I did see Hegseth has had an ad produced by the quote-unquote Department of War touting United States' military prowess.
What a guy.
You know, what a guy. Yeah. I mean, he's purging the military of anybody who's any people who want a promotion who's either black or female.
I don't really understand people who want to serve under these guys, carry out their policy. I don't see it.
What they found out is there's a lot of weak people who are, they have no way of ever achieving these things except under these circumstances. You know, the Nazis had, their people were pretty much a bunch of losers. Goering was an exception to that, but they had, you know, second and third class people doing their bidding.
Yeah,
and we have that in this administration, although it's part of why things aren't doing so well. You know, you can see where things are failing, and we keep having failures. Look at what happened this week with the pool in.
That was great. That success. Yeah. That was a success for about 1 hour. Before they put the water in, right?
Yeah, between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to paint it dark blue, which Everybody said, wait a minute, that's going to encourage algae to form.
Right.
Then we're going to give a no-bid contract to some guy. If you saw his picture, he looks like a caricature.
Right.
Out of, you know, out of a comedy sketch.
Right.
$14 million.
It was going to cost $1 million or $2 million. That's all it was going to be, right?
Yeah. And then the algae started forming. So they started pouring in hydrogen peroxide, and lo and behold, the hydrogen peroxide started, causing the new paint, the blue paint to, to dissolve and come up to the surface. it would be, you know, funny if it wasn't so tragic, such a waste of money. And of course, we've been wasting money now on the ballroom that they found out, which wasn't going to cost a dime. The $100 or $200 million ballroom that expanded to $600 million, and now it's half of which is going to be the taxpayers' expense.
If it gets built.
If it gets built.
Yeah. I mean, they could spend all this money and never end up building anything.
I don't know if you saw it. It was buried in an article that somebody, I don't know whether Susie Wiles or somebody, came into the Oval Office, and they found Trump with a tube of super glue gluing on some of these gold baubles into places, like on the mantle or whatever. You know, he's his own decorator. The gaudy stuff, you know. All that glitters is not classy.
Well, you know, let him do that. The more he does that, the less he fucks things up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't mean to poke fun for the sake of poking fun. He's a dangerous guy.
And he has dangerous guys working for him. Look at he had that Bill Pulte working that he appointed, who has no business being the head of national intelligence. He has no intelligence background. He may not even have a security clearance.
He may not even have intelligence.
Yes. Well, we know that. And then, so then to mollify the Senate, he appointed Jay Clayton, who has a better reputation as a prosecutor. And worked for the SEC in the first Trump administration. Now, he doesn't have a specific intelligence background, but he probably handled intelligence cases as a prosecutor.
Well, you don't know that. You're guessing on that.
Yeah. And then, lo and behold...
But if he did, that's his whole background in intelligence. That's really not a background in intelligence. That's
And then he got mad at the Senate and he said, no, I'm not going to let you have a hearing to approve of him. We're going to let Pulte be there as a temporary for 200 days. And so now the rumor is Pulte is going to fire a whole hundreds of people for no apparent reason that it probably appeases Vladimir Putin, you know?
Well, Trump said that he's putting him in there to fire people.
Yeah.
Trump wants them fired.
Yeah.
It's from my viewpoint, fire them. What the hell? Can't see that it's going to hurt anybody in America to fire these people. What did they do that's useful? I don't know what they do what's useful, because I can't see that the American government in its foreign policy does anything that seems to be beneficial to the American people. So what is all this analysis? What is all this coordination? What are all these 16,000 employees, or however many thousand? There's more than 16,000, right? There's 16 different agencies. I don't think anybody knows how many people work for the agencies. And I know that nobody knows how many different kinds of programs or how many programs any agency has. Nobody knows. So why shouldn't they all get fired?
Yeah.
I don't mind. Wouldn't hurt me.
Now they talk about programs. Remember they were buying up all these warehouses in order to...
Yeah, concentration camps.
Camps, yeah, for the people that ICE arrested.
Yeah.
And now they want to sell a bunch of them.
How much did they spend for them? They spent a fortune, right?
Over $100 million.
Yeah.
There were two in Pennsylvania that were people were protesting. It's going to be interesting what they get for them. You know, they'll probably wind up giving them away to no bids to some favored.
That's right.
Real estate guy or something.
That's exactly
like that.
What they'll do. And they'll explain that it gets an expense off the government's payroll, you know, bank
yeah,
account,
gets
balance sheet.
Balance sheet, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll probably say we don't have to pay real estate tax on it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, these are terrible people.
Well,
and to laugh at them is a mistake.
It hurts
to see it. But nothing they do is funny.
Well, no. Getting back to the Department of War, turns out, remember a couple months ago, Pete Hegseth said, we're not going to make people take vaccines.
That's right.
And
the flu vaccine especially.
Flu vaccine especially. And now down in Texas, there was an outbreak, 160, I think it's Air Force people, caught the flu. And now they're mandating everybody on the base get the flu vaccine.
Wait, I want to ask you, are you suggesting that taking the vaccine keeps you from getting sick?
Because
that kind of stuff is what Democrats say.
Yeah. Democrats and Anthony Fauci, you know, who you can't believe.
And doctors.
Doctors, yeah. You know, bring back smallpox or polio.
Make smallpox great again.
Makes great again, yeah. Yeah.
That's not funny. I mean, they brought back measles. They brought back measles. Can you believe this? They brought back measles.
Measles, yeah.
Oh.
You know, the other thing, that, you know, getting back to the pool, there was the hat, MAGA, make algae great again.
Make algae great again.
Oh, it's, you know, you kind of wonder. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania, we got a couple of things we should talk about.
Okay.
The big news this week was the state Supreme Court finally came down with its decision on skill games and said, in effect, they're slot machines.
Now, wait, what's a skill game?
These are games that have been put into a lot of places. You put your money in and you play, you know, you get results on them that look an awful lot like slot machines, but they say that there's an element of skill in how you work the machines.
You mean how you pull a lever?
Yeah, I don't know whether you pull a lever or just push a button.
I see.
On these. Okay. And they've proliferated greatly. Yeah. In gas stations, in convenience stores, in like meeting halls where you have like VFWs and things like that.
So how much do you pay? How much is a shot?
I never having played them, I think that some of them are probably quarter machines or dollar machines or whatever. But they're unlike slot machines, there are no age requirements to play these. And they had a constituency because places where they were put in made money off of them in some ways. Whether
now, here's the thing, you told me about this, and I was in my mind, I'm poo-pooing this. What's the big deal? You're paying a quarter. Right. What's the difference? What does it matter? But I learned, you sent me some articles, I learned that there's an enormous amount of money involved.
Yeah.
Right?
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. That's right. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
If the state taxes this, mm-hmm. as the state now would tax it, because now they have a legal basis for taxing it, they're talking about taking in between $300 million and $500 million a year in taxes. That's after the payouts. That's after the profit. That's after the operation expenses. That's the taxes.
Yeah, and that was the big fight. The casinos kept saying, hey, if you're taxing us, you got to tax them. You got to put us on a level playing field with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, and then there was a question of how much you might tax them. There was one proposal at 36%. Remember, slot machines are taxed at 52%. The big purveyor of these machines called Pace-O-Matic out of Georgia tried to oust three state senators who wanted to do the taxes. And they, in the last election.
My state senator.
Right. Lisa Baker.
Yeah.
And they were unsuccessful. So now you have three very ticked off state senators who are looking to get their revenge on Pace-O-Matic and what they stand for. The only thing is the legislature has 120 days, according to the court order, to figure this out, because if they don't figure it out, the police are going to be authorized to go in and arrest people for unauthorized gambling.
God in heaven.
Back
to prohibition.
Yeah, we're prohibition, right? Where they break the machines up or something. Yeah. They're just going to take them out. But again, nobody knows how many machines there are. There's tens of thousands. Nobody knows everywhere where they are. They're not registered. But, and so the legislature's got a big, big task ahead of us as to how they're going to do it. Are they just going to say we're going to do a flat rate for the VFWs, like $100 a machine or $500 a machine? Or are they going to tax based on the payouts? Whatever. We don't know.
But the payout, if they won't tax based on payouts, because there is no payout, right? Aren't these things rigged?
That's one of the problems. Yeah. There's not much payout. They're going to be taxed on their, what they take in.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And, not even the vendors know what they take in. The company knows what they take in, and they pay a percentage, or they pay a certain amount to the
Well, they pay what they say the percentage is, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have that.
And what's the budget deficit in Pennsylvania?
It's a couple billion dollars, I think.
So half a billion wouldn't be a bad pay. Wouldn't be a bad tax to collect.
No, so there's a real incentive there. There's going to be some pretty hefty tax, I think, coming out of this.
Yeah.
And they're going to, and there's the incentive to do it more quickly, because this budget is due at the end in 10 days.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
No.
They're not far enough along on figuring out what to do with this.
Right. And they're going to, go into the fall again like they did last year.
Yeah.
On that. So that was big news in Pennsylvania. Up to then.
Is that going to affect the gubernatorial election? Is Garrity, the Republican candidate, going to make hay against Shapiro, saying he can't come up with a budget?
She's trying to make hay on the data centers.
Uh huh.
That's the one that people really care about. the people really don't care about these machines. The only ones that care about are the places that are making money off of them.
Right, right.
But right. Garrity's trying to outflank Shapiro on, she wants, on, you know, he's for a moratorium on these data centers. She's talking, but again, she's talking without necessarily specifics about, you know, where they're going or whether they should be allowed. Type of thing, and we're gonna have
well,
to
you know, for
that.
Us, the data center issue is a big issue because Northeast yes. Pennsylvania is the area where the greatest concentration of data centers in the state is planned. Outside of Scranton alone, eight of them outside of Scranton.
Yeah, Archbald and Dixon City are big ones.
I don't quite understand why anybody thinks the water is there that is going to be needed to cool off these data centers. I know what the water situation is in Susquehanna County. Our water table is very low. It's been low for a decade. And you couldn't pump water out of the ground here with certainty. Forget that nobody else would have any water. The data center wouldn't have any water. It just isn't there. The fracking, which uses 3 million gallons of water per fracked well, they have to take that from the Susquehanna River. Data centers, what they're talking about, the size they're talking about, uses 3 million gallons a day. It's a little different.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they think this water is going to come from.
Well, that's the thing. Between the water and the electricity.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I guess if you're involved in promoting a bubble, if it's all some sort of scam of... And if it'll never really be there, all you're trying to do is collect investors who lose their money and you'll pocket the money, or contracts from big companies and you'll pocket it and then you disappear, what's the difference? And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, grifters.
It's grifters. That's right. It's grifters.
On an industrial scale.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody, I guess, will build one somewhere and get stuck with it because it's not going to, even if you build it, the technology that it's for will change, and you won't need it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Although Elon Musk says, let's build them in space. And I think Jeff Bezos said the same thing this week.
They may be saying, just let's build it in space, but the Chinese are actually building a few in the ocean, which eliminates the problem of water.
Water, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the oceans kind of live on water.
Yeah,
if you can figure out the salt issue, you'll be
well. They've got one or two big ones on an experimental basis in someplace off the China coast. So, but the Americans aren't thinking that way. But of course, they're not thinking. That's right. Well,
they're only thinking of the grifters. The grifters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the week that we had. It was a week of grifting. The war.
Yeah.
The debacle that it was for most people, but not for the oil companies, not for the fossil fuel companies. You got to admit that Trump is a courageous guy. He was willing to take the flak on behalf of the fossil fuel companies, and he actually stood and took it until he handed it off to Vance so that Vance could fall down with it, right?
Yeah.
That was the week that was.
That was the week that was. Yeah. And it's Father's Day. We want to acknowledge that. You're a father. I'm a father.
Right.
And we'll.
I'm a grandfather. We'll I'm a great grandfather.
You're a grandfather. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Right.
But we'll have to see how it goes.
Well, next week we have some important elections. We didn't talk about the elections in Georgia or Washington, D.C., which were pretty important. But we'll can do it when we talk about the New York election, which is next week.
Right.
So we'll see you next week.
New York, we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.